Good afternoon, podcast world, and welcome back to Balls Deep. I'm your co-host, Zach Wunderlich, as always joined by co-host Chance Rich. Chance, how are you, brother?
Doing well, my man.
All right, the Balls Deep crew is we're a two-man crew today. Our other co-host, Caleb Price, is attending his sister's senior day. So we want to give a shout-out to Sister Price. Tell her to go bust him for 30 today and go out with a bang.
Right.
As we told you last week, we're three washed-up former college baseball players now living the dream. Through talking sports on a podcast. We have a very special guest today that's actually a complete 180 from us and the furthest thing from washed up, and that's Detroit Tigers pitcher Kale Kosho. Kale, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. How about y'all?
We're doing good, man. We appreciate the hell out of you joining us. I know with spring training and stuff coming up, you're about to get busy, so we appreciate you taking the time out and doing this podcast with us today.
Yeah, I'm just glad to have some social interaction after that snowmageddon. Holy cow, yeah, I was just sitting here in my house for 5 days, couldn't move.
Yeah, it was crazy for sure. If you don't mind, just go ahead and introducing yourself. Tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, where your loyalties lie, your sports teams professionally. Obviously, we'd probably get that you're a Tigers fan now, but if you don't mind, just introducing yourself and then just tell us where else your loyalties lie.
Yeah, well, I grew up in Evan, Oklahoma, went to Deer Creek High School, and then my two other high school teammates were Michael Fulmer, Rookie of the Year, and now third baseman of the Miami Marlins, Brian Anderson. So it's been some good baseball pedigree at Deer Creek, but then I went to University of Oklahoma for 2 years. Unfortunately, some things went south there, got cut from there, went to Oklahoma Christian for 1 year, and then end up getting drafted by the Yankees in 2013 from there. I did not grow up a Yankees fan, but if they're paying your bills, you'll become a Yankees fan real fast. So
sure.
Same thing with the Tigers. So, I mean, I'm just definitely blessed, you know, to be able to further my career. It's just, I was a little bit nervous with, having Tommy John, I'm a free agent year. It's like, man, have I thrown my last pitch yet? And luckily, you know, had a good surgeon, put me back together and ready to go again.
For sure, man, for sure. While we're on that topic, we'll just jump into the Tommy John thing. I had Tommy John as well when I was in junior college. That surgery is a pain in the ass, huh?
Yeah, gosh. The worst part was, I felt it go in spring training. However, I knew being in AAA, I was one phone call away. So it's like, hey, suck it up. You know, and suck it up and hopefully get called up, then you complain about it. But fortunately, it didn't happen. But they took a hamstring tendon out of my leg, threw it on my elbow, and screw the elbow. The worst part was having a hamstring tendon out. Man.
I'm glad you said that because I was the same way. I went down to Dr. Andrews in Florida, and in the little meeting before surgery and everything, you know, they were looking at my wrist and they're like, hey, man, you don't have this tendon in your wrist, so we're going to have to take a hamstring. And I was like, what do you mean you're going to take a hamstring? I thought I only had one, you know what I mean?
But yeah.
Apparently you got like five or six hamstring muscles in there, and they can just go in and steal one. But
unbelievable.
The exact same way that you felt, like, I'll go through Tommy John 10 times over again if it's just the elbow pain. Hamstring pain was terrible.
Yeah,
ask if you had to be on crutches and have that big robot brace on your arm at the same time like Zach did.
So luckily, I didn't have to be on crutches. The only unfortunate thing was with me being with the New York Yankees, they flew me up June 6th. They flew me up to New York City. June 7th, I ended up getting my TJ. Well, they put us in the hotel in the middle of Times Square. This is pre-COVID, so Times Square is just packed.
Bombing.
So I'm sitting here, arm in a brace, can't really walk. And, like, we had to go to the Walgreens, and because I had eaten all day. We had to get some, like, medication, and then I had to get some food. My, like, wife's, like, boxing me out against people because here I am with our arm in a cast, yeah. And I can't even walk. So she's just playing, boxing out other people. But, holy cow, that was unreal. But then flying back the day after was miserable. But,
I remember I remember that flight back as well. Especially you. I mean, what, you're 6'4", 6'5", however tall you are. I'm only 6 foot, a 6 foot guy. I can't fit in an airplane seat with your legs straight. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I couldn't bend my leg.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is they ended up, they flew me back or whatever. If you're on the major league roster, you get first class.
Hey, there you go.
I was on the JV squad in AAA. So I got Comfort Plus, which I mean, we got like 2 or 3 inches of extra leg room, but yeah, that was not some fun flight, but I mean, shoot it. I mean, it kind of gave me a time to kind of chill at house, and literally for the first like 8 weeks, all I did was watch sports, watch golf, baseball, basketball still going on. It was fantastic.
Yeah. Also, when I, on my flight back, you know, I told you I couldn't bend my leg. It's just, just a terrible flight from Florida back to OKC. And we get back to OKC, and I'm just sitting there, you know, I'm like, I'm letting every person on this plane get off before I try to do anything, you know. And so, you know, that aisle is so small, like I'm barely walking out, you know, like I'm getting there. I get off the plane and get to the tunnel, you know, leading out into the airport. And they got a wheelchair there waiting for me. So I'm like, all right, cool. You know, like, get me out of here. I get to sit down because, you know, I can't walk. And I get in the wheelchair and my mom's pushing me up. And the airplane people, they're like, hey, man, you know, for liability reasons, we have to push you out ourselves, you know. And I get like this 80-year-old woman that I'm 270 pounds, you know. She can't push me out.
Yeah.
And, it was just a whole shit show in itself of just getting out of the airport.
Oh, for sure.
So how was your recovery, you know, your rehab and all that? Like, if you could let the people know, like all that entailed with it. I know with mine, the rehab program that I had, like, it surprised me. It was a lot of swinging, like a lot of swinging a bat. So yeah. you just go into that a little bit.
Well, like the funny thing is, like, obviously I'm not a position player. So, I mean, I'm a pitcher only now, so I just love to swing a golf club now. And they actually told me that, like, you know, given time, like, swinging a golf club, you know, actually kind of helps all those little, the small forearm muscles kind of form around. And that was, my wife got really mad because it was part of my rehab. I would just be in our old house. We had carpet in there. I would just chip and putt in the house all the time. Yeah. And, man, I was nervous because, you know, I'm like, man, I'm having TJ, man, I'm going to have to be in Florida at the spring training site rehab, and it's going to be terrible. But, luckily I end up, they set me up with a physical therapist here in Edmond, and literally 5 miles from my house. So when I was going to physical therapy, it was 5 miles away from my house. So that was also a fantastic kind of portion about the whole Tommy John thing. But, man, it's so funny. Like, if you ask anybody, hey, what's the worst thing about Tommy John surgery and, like, the rehab? I mean, you can probably attest to this. The worst thing is wiping with the other hand.
Yeah.
Dude, like, that was, like, the most miserable thing. It's like, man, I got to learn how to wipe left-handed, brush my teeth left-handed, eat left-handed. I'm righty all the way. So, man, people, they would laugh. Funny story about that is some person ended up, they saw my arm in a cast and they're like, what happened? What kind of surgery do you have? And this was, I was actually in the elevator going up to my physical therapist, and I literally told him, I was like, I wiped too hard and blew my elbow out. And they go, and I was like, no, I'm kidding. Baseball player ended up blowing my elbow out throwing. But, like, the look on their face was priceless. Like,
man, I'll tell you, like, myself, I'm a little bit ambidextrous. Like, I do things weird. But if, like, Chance, you had a little technical difficulty, so you missed a little part here. He was talking about in his rehab how bad it sucked having to learn how to wipe with the other hand.
Oh,
Chance is one that is a 100% true lefty. Like, you take away his left side, I don't know how much Chance can do.
not a lot. I pretty much rely on my wife to pretty much do everything, so that would suck because my right side doesn't work at all, man.
Yeah, he's a true lefty. Like I said, I kick right-footed and I write right-handed. It really just sports-wise, I just do left-handed, but I'm a little bit ambidextrous.
You guys want to know one of the craziest things? Me and Zach literally had to play Kosho, Fulmer, and BA on the same damn team.
The same team, man.
We had to go to your house and play you guys.
I was so pumped. Like, I was so pumped whenever, like, I still talk about that all the time to people. It's just like, it was so cool seeing how much talent was between Chandler High School and Deer Creek High School. Man. And shoot, I remember like, I heard of John Gray, you know, but I really like, I was like, okay, this big dude throws hard, probably going to get drafted.
Yeah.
Well, then I remember showing up to the game and I'm like, who are all these freaking scouts? Holy cow.
Yeah.
And, you know, big John Gay's thrown against us. And I was like shocked. I mean, I'm like, wait, that's like, I threw decently hard in high school. I definitely, I don't know, got my man strength, you know, later in my college career in pro ball. But like seeing John Gray pump low 90s consistently and run mid 90s in high school, I'm like, who the hell is this guy? Like, what are they feeding him down in Chandler? But man, I still think about that baseball game and just, I think we beat y'all by like a run, I think, or something like
that. But are you slow playing us here? Because the reason why you beat us is because I'm pretty sure you hit a 3-run bomb off John in like the sixth. Yeah, he was slow playing us. I see that eyebrow raise. Yeah.
Well, here's the funny thing. I think that game, I think I was like 1-for-3 with a homer off of John, but 2 strikeouts. But hey, in baseball now, it's like, hey, if you go 1-for-3 with, or even 1-for-4 with a homer and 3 strikeouts, it's a good day.
Yeah, no, for sure. Chance, I'm glad you brought that game up. I was thinking about that before we actually started this today. I remember we showed up, you know, we obviously know Deer Creek was good. You know, we were 3A, but we kind of played a 4A, 5A, sometimes 6A schedule, you know, because, you know, we did have the luxury of John Gray when we went and played those guys, you know, and we could go out and we could compete with anybody. But, you know, we knew that you guys were good. I remember seeing Fulmer warming up down in the bullpen and, like, you know, just looking down there, like, I remember honestly thinking, I was like, okay, they think we're 3A Chandler, you know, like they ain't got to worry about us because it looked like Mike was just down there, you know, kind of lobbing the ball, warming up. And I'm like, you know, it looked a little firm, but, it, you know, low to mid H, you know, I'm like, yeah, we see that all the time. And then
we're supposed to be worried about this guy.
Yeah. He comes out in that first pitch of the game. It was like, holy shit, this guy's throwing a baseball.
Yeah.
And then
It's so cool, like, seeing – because it's that – I remember that game got Michael on the map, but then it was during spring break. We went down to Gulf Shores, Alabama, and we were playing Fairhope High School. And I think I played against Fort – I forgot the name of the high school, Fort something. And I think I pitched okay or whatever, but then, like, we were playing Fairhope. And they were like top, like, I think they had like, they were ranked like top 10 in the whole nation in high school baseball. And what do you know? Fulmer gets a start against Fairhope. Oh my gosh. I think he went complete game and like 2 hits, like 10 strikeouts. And I'm like, I always knew Michael was a really good pitcher. But then I saw that and I'm like, uh-oh, like there's something here. And, man, it's just like thinking about that. I'm like, man, and like, I think back to it all the time. Like, cause people ask me, how'd y'all not win state? I still have no idea.
We get asked that a lot, you know, in 3A. Chance and I's class, we went all 4 years. We're the only class to do it at Chandler. And we came up short every year. And it dumbfounds me. It kills me. Like, it hurts my heart. Like, I don't – the same way with you guys. Like, you know, you guys were so loaded. Like, it's like, man, how did y'all not, you know?
Yeah, granted, we didn't have 3 big leaguers on our team.
Unfortunately, we were only stuck with one.
Yeah. Oh, darn. But I mean, he's a pretty good one. That's for sure.
He ended up number 3 overall pick. So, you know, that's pretty decent. That'll get you through high school ball a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's just like, man, like, it's so funny, like, you know, thinking about all the high school talent around here in like the Oklahoma City area, even up in Tulsa. It's like, you go look through like the major leagues as a whole right now, you've got a rookie of the year. You've got a really good bullpen arm in Archie Bradley, who's, you know, really, really good. You have arguably the best catcher in the major leagues right now with JT Realmuto.
Yeah.
And it's just – and obviously John as well. I mean, I think he started the wild card game for the Rockies, didn't he?
Yeah, 2 years ago against the Diamondbacks.
So it's just like – it's so unreal seeing the talent here in Oklahoma City. Because you would – like, people are like, whoa. You know, Oklahoma. When they hear that I'm from Oklahoma, they're like, what? Do you still ride a horse? Do you live in a teepee?
Yeah.
And it's just like, I'm like, man, if we put together a professional baseball team of just Oklahoma kids, I mean, or they're kid, not kids, but guys.
Yeah.
I mean, shoot, I guarantee you we could go give quite a few teams a run for their money.
Oh, I guarantee it.
Yeah.
I remember that last thing I'll say about that game, you know, you said you said your velocity didn't really come until after into college. I'm going to have to disagree with you there, because I remember after you hit that bomb off John, you know, I think you guys went up one, and then we come out in the seventh and Fulmer wasn't on the mound anymore. And we were like, shit, man, he's gone. Like, this is our chance. Little did we know, here comes Kel Koshaw to close the game. And I'm telling you, Mike threw hard. You threw damn hard as well. It was like how many guys are they going to roll up here throwing nines? You know what I mean? Like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, throw B and let them throw at their head for a little bit.
Yeah.
It's like, it's so funny. I look back at that and it's just like, because like Fulmer, 90, me, I'd hit 90 a few times. And then like Brian Anderson, sometimes he didn't know where it was going, but he was hitting, you know, low 90s on the
that
mound.
Dude threw so hard.
Like, oh, and then like, that reminds me.
Faced him.
Oh my gosh. And it just like, it's so crazy how like, I don't know, where you can just kind of get, I mean, shoot, Deer Creek at the time, yeah. Like, yeah, we were 5A, but, I mean, we still felt like we were 3A, 4A just from kind of being like a little small country school. Now it's right. one of the fastest growing schools in the state. And now it's 6A, and I think they're kind of struggling a little bit just because they don't have the numbers or athletes yet.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I agree with you on BA. He, you know, I played those like 6-7 summers in a row with him. And mm-hmm. when Brian would play either short or third for us, you know, I played first when I wasn't pitching. Brian was the only dude that threw harder across the diamond than John did. Cause you know, John played third for us when he wasn't throwing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
BA could let that sucker go.
Oh, and it was like, it was impressive. Like seeing him throw, because I'm sitting here playing first base and sometimes he would throw it in the dirt and like, he'd get mad at me for not scooping it. Let's say, hey, I want to be like, hey, Brian, like, cause he would get mad. He'd get mad real fast. And I'd be like, hey, Brian, like, dude, I love you to death. But dude, I can't catch 90 plus miles an hour in the dirt. Like, that's hard.
Oh yeah.
So it was always a good time with him, but no, man, yeah, I was kind of, I like base. Do what?
Yeah. I'm going pro in pitching, not first base, man.
Yeah. Golly. It's like, I mean, I was like, I don't know, my glove and my bat were okay, but I also kind of knew, I'm like, okay, I can kind of see my arm definitely going to be paying for college instead of my bat. So yeah. Oh, yeah. But, oh my goodness.
So next thing I want to ask you, Kel, is it doesn't really have to do with your career. Well, I want to get into that for sure, but I'm a huge Jeter fan, man, and I got him. I said in our last podcast last week, you know, I got Derek Jeter tattooed on me.
Yeah,
huge Derek Jeter fan, and you posted the picture. I don't know what it was, 2-3 years ago, of you sitting with the captain, and I immediately, you know, was jealous as hell. I think I might have hit you up, and I was like, dude, like, you just met Derek Jeter. So
yeah.
You go into that a little bit. How was he? You know, like, give us the story, you know, maybe if any, share a story about it, whatever you got for us. Yeah.
No, so, okay, so it was part of the captain's camp. So they would kind of bring in some of the top prospects and kind of some organizational guys for – it was about a month before spring training started. Captain's camp, so we're working out, but at the same time we're doing a lot of team building stuff. Well, Jeter was the one that put on the captain's camp because obviously he was the captain.
Oh,
and so, you know, we would do some team building stuff. And then at the end, we went to this place to have dinner and he was there, you know, so we got to talk to him and all that stuff. Well, I mean, obviously everyone knows, you know, arguably one of the best players of all time. But what pumped me up about him was he was probably like no one really knew about him off the field because he was actually really good about staying out of the media. But funny story about that here in a little bit. But no, it's just like you would see him, you know, you just get to talk to him and you're like, man, like he's such just a down-to-earth dude, real quiet, not a flamboyant lifestyle. Because you see some of the guys that, you know, they get called up to the big leagues, but they're acting like they're a 20-year veteran about to go to the Hall of Fame. And that wasn't him. Yeah, I'm sure he drove a nice car and obviously had a lot of money and everything like that. But he was just a cool dude. But so funny story about that. So at the end of the dinner with Jeter, he ends up opening it up. He goes, guys, no questions off limits. You guys can ask whatever question you want to.
Nice.
And like,
I'd had a heyday. Yes.
Yeah.
Real.
So, you know, and everyone's nervous because, okay, it's Derek Jeter, future Hall of Famer. And so we're all asking the basic questions. Hey, what do you do to prepare for a baseball game and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, maybe like the nightlife in New York City. What's it like playing in New York City?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, then one of our guys goes, hey, Derek, I got a question. Yeah, what's up? And this guy, he was known, he had no filter.
Oh, yeah.
And we're all sitting there, we're like, oh, crap, here we go. And obviously, I'm sure y'all heard about that rumor that he would give gift baskets out to all the women that he had been with.
He's a goat just for that.
Yeah. So the guy asked, and he goes, hey, so Derek, we got to ask, like, the gift basket thing with, you know, all the ladies you've been with. Is that true? And we're all like, you could have heard a pin drop.
Yeah.
We're all like, no. We're like, did he just ask that? We're like, oh my gosh. And the best part is Derek, he was laughing, and we're like, oh gosh, okay. I'm glad he's laughing.
Yeah.
But he just said, he goes, fellas, don't believe everything the media, you know, tells you. But like, just, I mean, as a, you know, dude, I think I was like 23 at the time. And, you know, just seeing how he handled that situation. I mean, cause you got some, you know, idiot 22-year-old. I mean, we weren't smart at the time. I mean, we're still not smart. But like having like a little 22-year-old ask him that question and he just kind of laugh it off. It's just like, okay, he's just a dude, you know? And it's just like,
yeah,
you got all those dudes, you got all those, you know, guys that are, you know, Hall of Fame careers. And oh, if you're not on my level, I'm just going to push you to the side.
Yeah.
Man, Jeter was just another dude. And like, that's the same thing with like Aaron Judge and a whole bunch of other guys with the Yankees. I mean, Judge, he's probably going to be a future Hall of Famer, but that guy, I mean, shoot, I've seen him out and about, and he would buy my lunch for me, just being just a regular dude. So, you know, it was just cool to kind of see like that. And that was one good thing with the Yankees was, we want you to perform on the field. But at the same time, it's like, if you kind of act like a jackass off the field, then we really don't want you.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I'm glad you brought that up too. Like, I was going to ask, you know, Jeter's your, like, that's the one, you know, that you're like, man, holy shit, this is Derek Jeter. But, you know, you brought up Judge, like, did you ever have those times, you know, like, you know, maybe in Double-A, somebody came down for a rehab assignment, you know, or something like that, that you know, like, you're there to get a job done, but you're like, oh my God, you know, that's Aaron Judge or, you know, whoever it is.
Yeah. I mean, Masahiro Tanaka came down for rehab assignment. Matt Holliday, by the way, I tried to get his forearm program. I mean, it's arguably he's got the best forearms in the base in the game.
Sure.
I guarantee he's coaching Oklahoma State. He's probably still got the best forearms.
Oh, yeah.
But Alex, when I was in Double-A, Alex Rodriguez came down to Trenton for a rehab. And funny story about that. So, by the way, A-Rod, super chill dude. I mean, you know, I mean, he really didn't say much to us, but I mean, he bought us post-game Chipotle and we all had a bowl to go to. So we're like, you know what? You're a pretty cool dude.
Yeah.
But so we're facing the Bowie Bay Sox. They're the Double-A for the Orioles. And this pitcher's up there and he threw the exact same sequence to A-Rod two times in a row. A guy like that, you can't do that. You got to mix up your pitches.
Yeah, you can't.
Well, yeah, so I'm in the dugout. I wasn't starting that day, so I was in the dugout just hanging out. Hey, Rod, yeah, I'm going to be in the dugout as much as I can, just be around the guy.
Yeah.
So his first AB, I think he got a fastball up, ends up popping it out to center field, and, like, he barely missed it. Best part is he popped up to center field. Well, at the lower levels, and even in college ball, you run it out, right?
Yeah.
That dude maybe made about 30 feet down the first baseline and just – he just kind of peeled off right when he caught it. And we're like, oh, my gosh. You know, but, hey, it's A-Rod. What can you say?
Yeah, for
so
sure.
Then the exact same sequence, I think he went heater, then he went breaking ball, and then he went heater again. And on his second AB, well, A-Rod, I mean, the exact same sequence, same fastball, boom, over the hitter's eye in center field. And we're all – in Trenton, it's a graveyard. And we're like, we're all like, oh my gosh. And the fans, you know, they're going crazy because it's A-Rod.
Yeah.
And he comes back into the dugout and he goes, that's a big league swing, fellas. And we're like, oh my gosh. Like, dude, we get it, man. You're obviously, you know, possible huge future Hall of Famer, one of the best ever. But it's like, bro, you don't need to tell yourself that.
Yeah.
Right on, man. Mm-hmm. All right, Kale, I got a good question for you, man. How about your work ethic and, like, what it took you to get to the bigs, man? That's going to be a good question for kids and just people, you know, who can teach their kids to kind of keep their work ethic right coming from a big leaguer like you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, I got it from Dwayne The Rock Johnson. His same is always be the hardest worker in the room. So that's me I've always told myself that, just be like, hey, I don't care what it takes. It's like, you may be better than me, but I'm going to work 1,000 times harder than you. So, because there's so many guys out there that, you know, they end up showing up to big league camp or something like that. And, you know, they've just the God-given abilities, but their body ends up breaking down because, you know, they were just, they don't work hard. And then, you know, then another, I kind of came up with this motto. It's just like, it doesn't matter where you work, it's how hard you work. I mean, it's like I throw, like sometimes I'll go throw bullpens into a net in my father-in-law's barn by myself. I'll turn up the music and just get after it. But it's just like you have so many guys that they're like, they have to have the lights on, you know? And it's just like, I mean, yeah, you see like some of the guys, you see the work, you know, that they put in on the field. It's like, man, okay, like a Mike Trout. You're like, holy cow, that dude's unreal. What you don't see is behind the scenes. It's like, I've gotten to talk to some people, you know, I'm like, man, was Mike Travis, he's just like, was he just gifted? Or it's like, is he like the real deal off the field too? And they said like, he shows up early, stays late, swing and working out. And I mean, you don't see that side of some guys where, I mean, behind the scenes, I mean, they're the hardest workers in the room. And that's like, that's definitely what I try to, what I try to emulate.
Hell yeah, man. Sure. I really love that, especially like right off the bat. Dude, Dwayne Rock Johnson. That's exactly where I get it from.
Yeah.
Man, I like that. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Kale, even though Caleb couldn't join us today, he wanted me to ask you this question. So I feel like he's fishing a little bit here, but let's get your answer on this. He wants to know, who was the best college outfielder that you played with that wore number one?
Well, unfortunately, I'll have to say that Caleb Price, but no, dude, I love CP, man. I mean, definitely, you know, obviously a really, really solid baseball player, but I think his swag was even more, more impressive than his ability as a baseball player.
Yeah. And I always tell him, like, I mean, Caleb made it. He's on the wall at the McAllisters in Edmond. Like,
yeah, I know.
You made it, man.
Oh, and the funny thing is I go to that McAllisters all the time, and I just see Caleb, and I'm like, there's my dude, you know.
I always got to walk in, give him a little head nod. What's up, CP?
Oh, absolutely. No, but it's so cool. Like, man, that's like one thing I miss, like, at the OC days. It's like, man, Caleb, like, it's like, it's so funny, too. It's like, I grew up Deer Creek versus Carl Albert.
Yeah.
Terrible rivalry, because it's like, they were number one, we were number two, or flip-flopped, and I remember seeing this kid, and I'm like, who is this freaking kid? It's like, he's not the biggest dude in the world, but dadgum, he's got swag, and he can hit a freaking baseball. And I'm like, who is this guy? And then what do you know? He ends up becoming my college teammate at Oklahoma Christian. I'm like, okay, you're a pretty cool dude.
Yeah, scrappy too. He's, you know, all three of us being pitchers, CP was a tough out. He's scrappy as hell at the plate.
Absolutely he was. But, no, man, CP, it's just when I think about my OC days, I always think, of Caleb and some of the other guys, how much fun we had.
Right. And you brought him up a minute ago, you know, you talked about how loaded Deer Creek was, and now you're back in the same organization, you know, teaming back up with Fulmer. I'm assuming you guys probably talked, you know, like he probably hit you up, you hit him up when he signed with the Tigers. So, you know, what's that gonna be like? It'd be pretty cool if, you know, Fulmer rolls out, goes, I don't know, 8 2/3 with a couple hits. You know, you come in four out save, close the door, and then we'll just start calling them the Deer Creek Tigers.
Fulmer and I were talking about that. You know, it's like, because we've kind of talked about it every now and then. It's like, man, it'd be kind of cool to, you know, end up getting to be on the same big league team together. And, you know, funny story about the Tigers. So during the whole season, my wife, she works at the hospital, so she wasn't here. So I'm just sitting here by myself in the house, just losing my mind because I can't leave.
Yeah.
And so what are you supposed to do when you're kind of stuck in the house? Kind of drink a little bit.
Yeah. You got to drink a couple beers, huh?
Yeah. So, you know, I'm a bourbon guy. So I might've had me one too many bourbons. And so I end up, you know, going to sleep and all that stuff. Well, Fulmer calls me at like 6:45. And I'm like, I see his, I'm like, what are you doing? And I was like, I answered, he goes, I was like, hello. And he goes, dude, they're going to offer you the they just told me like the Tigers, they're going to offer you. And I'm like, you know, I'm feeling the best, but I'm like, I'm pretty jacked up.
Let me crack the bourbon back out.
So, no, it was cool. And like, we've talked about all that stuff, you know, cause I mean, my dream is to always, you know, always been a big leaguer. And, you know, I have the chance now to possibly, you know, back up Fulmer, you know, like that would be awesome. Just like, hey, he goes throw 7 innings or 8 innings. Then I get to come in for the save right after, and that'd be awesome.
Yeah,
you know,
sure. And while we're on that one as well, I know you got experience both, you know, being the back end of a bullpen guy because, you know, you're a guy that's going to come in and slam a door shut. But, you know, mm-hmm. you also have the experience of starting as well. So I know myself, I know Chance as well. Like, we were starters in high school, you know, like mm-hmm. for us to come out of bullpen, it was just weird. You know, it's almost a culture shock. So, you know, what would you – do you prefer, you know, being the guy to come in, you know, let me throw you 8 fastballs and slam this door real quick? Or do you like the longevity of, you know, preparing, you know, knowing when you're going to start, you know, getting that rest, you know, all that?
There is nothing better than you're sitting in the bullpen and you hear that walkie-talkie or phone go off. Hey, Kosho, get going. Because that adrenaline – there's nothing that overtakes that adrenaline rush. I mean, starting was okay, but it's just like, okay, crap. And the worst part is, okay – you pitch and you got 4 days to sit on it.
Yep.
So if you pitch bad, you got 4 days. If you
got to stew, you know, all week.
Yeah. If you're a reliever, you know, if you're a reliever and you end up having a bad outing, okay, hey, you know, in 2 days you're back at it. So, like, funny story about that. So people have always kind of like, I don't know, they've jabbed me on my ERA, which, I mean, ERA now in baseball is completely out the window. It's all analytical stuff. Yep. And obviously too much analytics can kind of throw a little wrench in some stuff. So this was in 2018. I was on the AAA All-Star ballot, possibly getting the chance to get called up. I don't know. That was out of my hands. And I had a 2.01 ERA. I mean, I think this was early June. And I'm like, oh, roll. Yeah. Couldn't have been pitching any better. So we're facing the Syracuse Chiefs, and they were okay. It was the Nationals AAA at the time, and they were okay. You know, they had a few good bats and a few good arms, but I mean, our Scranton Rail Riders team was loaded.
Yeah.
So I come in, and I was warming up, and I'm like, man, I feel pretty good today. Hopefully, you know, hey, get a few strikeouts, you know, and call it a day. I got one out. I went 24 pitches, 7 hits, 7 runs, 3 homers.
There you go. Stay hot, babe.
And I'm just like sitting there and like, I, you know, so my ERA after 24 pitches went from a 2.01 to a 4.91. And I'm like, oh my goodness. And I'm just sitting there. I'm like, what happened? And I was so like, because it's like, that's baseball. But, you know, and luckily the next outing, it was like 2 days later, ended up getting a scoreless outing. So I get that confidence back a little bit. But I remember that after that outing, it's like, I couldn't even be mad. I'm just like,
what happened?
I just gave up seven runs in 24 pitches. Like, it's not like I wouldn't, you know, okay. If I was walking the yard, you know, 4 or 5 walks. Okay. Like that's on me, but that was just baseball. And I remember one of my teammates, JP FireEyes, and he's with the Milwaukee Brewers right now. And he got traded over there. And we had like a 12-hour bus ride right after that game. So, you know, and I'm just like, I got to sit here on this bus and just think about it. Well, I'm just sitting there, and I'm just like, man. I'm just sitting there quiet. JP gets in the cooler, but just passes me a Bud Light, and I take a sip, and I'm like, thanks, man. And, and then we started laughing about it. So I was like, okay, we're good. But, no, and it's just like, that's the cool thing about, you know, I don't know, being a pitcher. It's just like, hey, you're going to have your bad outings, but at the same time, it's like, you know, you're going to have your good teammates to kind of build you back up and get that confidence back in. Yeah,
absolutely. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to you know, I told you this week when I asked you to come on, we're going to let our listeners ask you a question. And our listener question comes from a shout out to Jeff Matheny. It's weird as hell me calling him Jeff. That was Chance and I's high school coach at Chandler.
That's awkward.
Yeah, I gotta say Jeff Matheny, you know, so that people know who we're talking about. But it sounds weird coming out of my mouth. So Coach Matheny, you know, was our high school coach at Chandler. He would like to know what's the best advice that you could give to a young athlete that's wanting to play at the next level.
The best advice for an athlete to play at the next level?
Yes, sir.
I mean, it's got to be your work ethic. It starts with that. It's just like you have. I see so many kids that in high school and in college, you know, that like they got by because of their just God-given talent, you know, but then, okay, they feel like okay, he got that high schooler, you know, ends up getting his college scholarship. And then he's like, sweet, I'm done. I'm good. It's like, no, you realize you don't have to, you got to keep working. So yes. Like me, when I was at OU, I went there my first year and I was a little bit of a fat boy, ended up redshirting, dropped like 40 pounds and then end up putting on like 15, 20 pounds of muscle. So I redshirted my first year. Well, then I got my scholarship taken away my second year, just because it's a numbers game, politics, all that stuff.
Right.
And, but no, it's just like that right there. And like when I got my scholarship taken away, but I was like, I'm still a Sooner. I'm going to do this thing, prove everyone wrong. Well, I ended up getting two chances to pitch my redshirt freshman year. I got two wins against Air Force and then Oral Roberts. And, you know, I'm like, and that was the last time I pitched OU. Well, anyways, it's like going to think about that. It's just like I could easily throw in the towel, you know, and it's just like you have so many kids out there that they see that adversity and they're like, yeah, I'm done. You know, I don't want to face that adversity. But so much strength comes through adversity that, you know, if you can truly show what your limits are, then you're like, holy cow, I can go way past that. Right. And that's one thing, like, I see with so many kids nowadays. It's like when the going gets tough, they quit. It's like, no. Yeah, you'll step up. Okay, you're going to get punched, knocked back down. Guess what? Get back up and go get after it again.
Yeah, absolutely. There's another day. And I feel like, too, like, a lot of high school kids nowadays, you know, you're so caught up in the Division One. You know what I mean? Like, oh no, these guys, these big leaguers, like they're Division One guys. Like it's not that way. People get caught up so much in it. And yeah, you know, you were at OU, you obviously had a live arm, you know, there was a reason why you're at OU, but as you said, you know, some things happened, it didn't work out. And you go to Oklahoma Christian. Oklahoma Christian is not Division One, but you're still at, you know, the highest level of baseball that you can get to. So I feel like kids, they just get caught so much caught up in the Division One stuff when it really don't matter. Like, if you're good enough, they will find you.
Oh, absolutely. And it's just like I say that all the time to kids because they're like, oh, you went to OU. And because, I mean, my dad played football at OU under Switzer. My mom was in the band. My aunt was a sorority. So I was like, I was going to OU, no doubt. And, you know, nothing against OU, like, and people ask me all the time about coaches and all that stuff. And hey, I was just glad for my 2 years there. I got some great friends there.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that 1 year that I had at Oklahoma Christian, I go back to that all the time and think just about the team chemistry. It's just because I mean, we were NAI at the time, you know, and it's just like, you know, you go from D1. I mean, NAI is at the bottom.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, we had roughly around 35 guys on the roster. And all 35 guys were bought in. And that's why we end up going to the Christian College World Series and all that stuff. Just because, you know, you like at D1, you can get some guys, you know, it's politics involved, but it's also a lot of big egos.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you go to a small school, it's just like, you know, you get your chance to shine. Like, I had plenty of scouts tell me, they're like, if you didn't, you know, get cut at OU, you'd have maybe got lost in the mix because there's so much talent there.
Yeah.
You end up going to a smaller school and you got your chance to shine and pitch on a regular basis, boom, got drafted.
No, that's a great point. I didn't think of it that way. And you also brought up, you know, like in the Division One stuff, you know, there is, you know, it's not at every school, but there is a lot of me guys, you know, you're at a Division One. There's a lot of me guys, you know, it's what can I do? You know, I got to get drafted. It's me. And as you said, you know, you went to an NAIA school at Oklahoma Christian, and it's a whole new ball game. Like, there's at that level, you know, there's not a lot of me guys. It's a team thing.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And it's just like, I mean, that was like kind of cool thing. It's like you see that in the professional ranks too. It's like you definitely have some me guys, but shoot, I've made it when I was with the Yankees 2016, 17, 18, 19. And we're in 2015, we were a game out of the playoffs. So it's so cool. You see, it's just like everyone thinks minor leagues, oh, it's just for development. It's like, no, you want to win too. And it was so cool. Those years that we went to the playoffs, every single person bought in. You know, you'd obviously have a few me guys and, you know, I'm not trying to throw them under the bus, but it's just like, man, the team chemistry just wasn't there with some of those guys.
Yeah, for
but
sure.
But man, you see those guys that buy in, I mean, at any level, and it's just like the more guys that buy in, the better the team chemistry is, the more that guy's pulling for this guy. You know, it's like and it, you start that friendly competition where it's just like, hey, you know, I'm going to root for you, but hey, if injury happens or you get an off day or something like that, hey, I'm going to go try and take your spot just because right. that's how you want to be.
Yeah, for sure. And on Coach Matheny's as well, like, you know, I didn't get drafted or anything like that, but, you know, on, you know, we're all college athletes. And my advice that I'd give to that is, you know, if you're on the cusp of, you know, that guy that might be a D1 guy, you know, if you want to get caught up in the D1 stuff, if you're on the cusp, well, I mean, if you go there as a freshman and you sit for 2 or 3 years, like, you know, you got to just work on your own, basically, you know, you're not getting innings or anything. Like, my advice would be, you know, if you're that guy that's on the cusp, go the JUCO route. John Gray went the JUCO route. You know what I mean? Like, John can throw a baseball. John could have went anywhere in the country that he probably wanted to. John went the JUCO route first. You know what I mean? Like, just because, like, it's not a knock for you going to junior college. You know, you're going for 2 years to get your innings, get your at-bats, get your innings pitched, you know, whatever it may be. And then, you know, if you do what you got to do, somebody is going to notice you. You're going to be found.
And especially I see the junior colleges around Oklahoma. I mean, you got some dudes there, you know, and it's just like, and the coolest thing is you got those D1 guys that maybe, you know, didn't have best grades or something like that, or, you know, roster spot, scholarship. They end up, you know, bouncing back to JUCO, and then boom, their next year they get drafted just because they get those at-bats and all that stuff. It's like, man, I see that all the time with JUCOs. It's just like people, it's a knock to, oh, I'm going to JUCO. Right. No. Because, dude,
I mentioned it in our episode last week. When I got to Fort Scott, we had a guy there, John Means. And he comes to Fort Scott with me, you know, and we're both freshmen at the time. And John really didn't have, you know, any kind of offers coming out of high school. He came to Fort Scott, Kansas. You know what I mean? Like out there in the middle of Kansas playing junior college baseball, they did what he had to in junior college, goes to West Virginia. They find him. He gets drafted. His first year in the bigs, he was an all-star. And that's coming from – he had barely any offers coming out of high school. So he takes the JUCO route in the middle of nowhere, Kansas, and is an MLB all-star.
It's absolutely absurd when you, like, because I've gotten to, like, see John Means and all that stuff, and I've got to, you know, and got to talk to him a time or two, just because I knew his wife. She's a former professional soccer player, and, you know, it's so cool just seeing guys like that where, okay, oh, you get the knock, oh, you're at JUCO. Yeah. It's like, hey, there's a lot of JUCO teams that, hey, if they strapped up against a D1 team, they could probably get after them pretty good. I mean, when I was at OU, we were ranked in the top 10, maybe top 10, top 15 at the time. UTSA comes in, Texas San Antonio, they beat us 10-1. Yep. And it's just like, hey, and they had some dudes on that team. So it's just like, man, you can't go all the big D1 stuff. You can't go off of that.
Yeah,
absolutely. I still hear a lot of people knocking on JUCOs and stuff. And, like, I went to a JUCO just like Red my first 2 years. Dude, we had some really good players on there. A lot of dudes from New York, but we were small in a town with about 2,000 people that live in it. Me and this other guy, we actually had a scout from the Kansas City Royals come down to our field and watch us inter squad. Me and Ricky Reeves. We talked to that guy after the
game. I know Ricky.
Yeah, man, Ricky's a awesome dude.
Yeah,
and I'm like, man, JUCOs, you can go places out of JUCOs, man. There's no way to knock them like that. It's crazy. But, let's get into the next subject before we take too long on this, man. Let's work on this Tiger Woods subject. Let's see what we think about this. Kale, I'll let you open it up, man.
Man, that whole Tiger Woods thing, like, so I do some pitching lessons during the off season. And I'm like, doing a pitching. I had a few back-to-back-to-back. And, well, I see my phone. It's just blown up. And I was like, what is going on here? And it was – and I saw the car wreck and all that stuff. And I'm like, man, because what? Little over a year ago, the Kobe Bryant thing happened. Yeah. And we're like, man, no way we're about to lose two of the best ever. And I'm just like sitting there thinking, I see the wreck and I'm like, there's no way he survived that. Yeah. I mean, you
it
see
says
the car
at the bottom of the screen, you know, roll a car 700 feet. We're talking almost three football fields.
Yeah, I know. And like, when I saw that, like the exact same thing, cause I grew up playing football. I'm like, holy cow, he just went almost three football fields just rolling. Yeah. And, you know, and it's just – and it stinks too, you know, with because I mean, obviously I wish him the best health, you know, him walking all stuff, being a best dad. To be honest, it doesn't look like very good for his career.
No, but, absolutely not. And I wish we had Caleb here today. For the listeners out there, when Caleb's back with us next week, we'll dive back into it a little bit because of us. I mean, Caleb can golf. Caleb, I wish we had his thoughts on it. I will say he texted me this morning and he wanted to say that he's going on record that Tiger Woods will win another major.
That's why I said, but because if there's one dude that can do it, just, I mean, because Tiger is just like, obviously people always talk about Tiger, his, you know, strength on the golf course and all that stuff. People don't realize how strong mentally he is. And just think about that. If he ends up coming back from this, you know, gets a, you know, clean bill of health and all that stuff, and ends up, you know, getting win number 83 and going to the record books as most wins of all time, how absurd would that be? I mean, obviously, his legacy.
To me, I couldn't name a greater sports accomplishment. You know what I mean? Like,
no.
Well, obviously, we weren't alive back when, you know, the miracle hockey thing happened, and I don't know enough about hockey to know just how big of a deal that was. But, you know, just in my mind, like, just thinking, I'm like, if he was to make a comeback and win another one, like, it would, to me, it'd be the greatest sport accomplishment of all time. But
without a doubt,
I'll go on record and say,
after this, man, that'd be insane.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I gotta go on record now. Just my thoughts. You know, I love Tiger Woods. I love golf. I like to think that I can golf. I'm not very good at it, but you know, I get about six keystones in, and I'm asking people what the course record is because I'm like, I'm about to break it. But, you know, just my thoughts on it, like, to me, the light was already at the end of the tunnel. You know what I mean? Tiger was coming to an end. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And this, like, man, I'll never bet against Tiger Woods because, like you said, you know, the competitor that he is, you know.
But yeah, you can't.
To me, I don't know how he could come back from this. I'm just thankful that, you know, he's still with us. Like,
oh, absolutely.
Like, golf don't mean a thing at this point. You know what I mean?
No.
Like, I want him to be able to walk again. You know what I mean? Like, be able to golf with his son, you know, later on down the road. So I'm very thankful that
you talk about a son. It's just like obviously, you know, getting to watch Tiger win the 2019 Masters and all of his other accomplishments. It's awesome. But I got to watch that. It was like a father son golf tournament.
Yep.
And it was like, it was Justin Thomas and his dad, Tiger and Charlie. And it was like, I was honestly more in tune with that because, I mean, you see it all the time where you see these guys, they've got the blinders on to everything outside their, you know, outside their field of sport.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, okay, you know them as the baseball player, the football player, the golfer. But, like, you don't get to see them as the dad, the brother. So, you know, or sister or daughter, something like that. So, you know, it was really cool to see how he is off the course, you know, and it's just like, obviously with all the scandals and all that stuff, you know, that's a whole different other discussion, but it's like, you can definitely tell this guy, like the Tiger, he's definitely taken steps to improve his life, and seeing him with his son and then interact with his daughter. I mean, it's the coolest thing just because, I mean, you never saw that in the early 2000s.
Right.
The only thing you would see is Tiger Woods, shocker, won another one. Tiger Woods won another one.
Yeah. And I was having a conversation with my buddy Hatch. Both of you guys know Tyler Hatch as well.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought up a good point to me this week. It's like, when Tiger was Tiger, like, will we ever see anything that dominant again? Because it was all Tiger. Like you just said, it was Tiger wins, Tiger wins, Tiger wins, Tiger wins. Like, it was just – and to think of how close he is to, you know, like you said, having the all-time wins record – he's missed so much time.
Yeah.
Back injuries, you know, and all this stuff. What if we would have had a healthy Tiger for his whole career? He would have shattered everything that nobody would have ever came close to again.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's just – and it, like, and the only reason why is just, like, yeah, his strength, it's obviously kind of failed him, you know, with the five back surgeries and his Achilles and knee and all that stuff. But his mental game, it's like I try and, like, even – tap into that a little bit with baseball, and it's just absurd how strong he is mentally. I don't understand. I mean, it just had to be ingrained to him at a young age.
That dude's you can definitely tell he's in the zone when he's on the green, man, no doubt.
Yeah, for sure. And he could, when Tiger Woods could be five strokes back going into Sunday, but when I watch him walk out and he's got red on, I'm like, okay, it's over. Like, you guys
got Mamba mentality.
Oh, absolutely. And it's just like, and here, like, I got the Golf Channel on right now because I'm obsessed with golf. Can't help it. But I remember I was watching some little special and a bunch of the older guys, this was years ago, and they literally said, they're like, man, the worst part about a Sunday, it's okay, I'm in the lead, but I see this guy named Tiger Woods that's three strokes behind me, and it's just like, oh crap, you know, I better be in my A game because he's wearing a Sunday red, and when it's Sunday red that comes out, he's on a different level, you know. And it's just like, and I'm just seeing the look in Tiger's eye, especially on that 2019 Masters. It's like, obviously I know he hadn't won much prior to that, you know, in the year, in the early years, but man, I mean, just seeing his eyes just on that Sunday, you're like, oh boy, he is.
You know, it's go time. So let me ask you guys this, because I was having this conversation as well. Who do you guys think is the most recognizable sports athlete out there? Because I'm going to put Tiger way up there, because I think of the sense of, who's the best baseball player in the world right now? Mike Trout, right?
Yeah.
If Mike Trout walks into Quail Springs Mall down here in OKC, there's probably going to be 90% of Quail Springs Mall that don't know who he is.
Oh, absolutely.
You could even go to Tom Brady. Like, to me, Tom Brady walks into Quail Springs Mall, there's probably going to be a lot of people that know who he is, but there's going to be a huge population that's like, I don't know, who is this guy? Oh, he's a big deal. Oh, he's got seven Super Bowl rings, whatever it may be. But I just feel like with Tiger Woods, everybody knows who Tiger Woods is. I can go outside right now and ask my neighbor, hey, who's Mike Trout? And they're going to say, well, I don't know. Who is Mike Trout? But if I say, who's Tiger Woods? Oh, he's a golfer. I could put Kobe in there, because Kobe, you know, did so much stuff like in China and overseas and all that stuff. But to me, like, I want you guys' thoughts. Who do you guys think, you know, is the most recognizable athlete in the country?
Shoot. I mean, obviously, definitely Tiger. It's just like, there's so many people out there that they're not even golf fans. But, oh, Tiger Woods? Yeah, I've heard of him, you know. And then, I mean, I'm not the biggest, tennis fan. But, like, Serena Williams or, like, Roger Federer.
Yeah.
It's like, Serena Williams, it's like, you know, they always talk about, like, the GOAT talks and all that stuff. Go look at Serena's record.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
23 Grand Slams or something. I could be wrong, so y'all don't fact check me on that, because I don't know much about tennis. But it's crazy. Chance, who do you got the most recognizable athlete that you would think?
Most recognizable athlete?
Yeah. And I know, like, soccer's not big here, but it's big all over the world. You know, everywhere LeBron else, man. And like, you could put Ronaldo in there, but like, what's your thoughts James. On it?
LeBron James.
Yeah, LeBron's a good one. There's not many people that don't know him either.
kind of hard to hide the fact that he's also like what 6'8" or 6'9".
Yeah, you know, and like, 270 pounds.
Crazy, yeah, huge.
Yeah.
With that being said, we'll roll into our last topic here. We want to try to keep the time down for you guys. And, Kale, we don't want to keep you all day. We caught a lot of flack last week on how diehard Sooner we was and how our biases are and all that, which, again, I can attest to that. Like, we are biased to the Sooners, but we don't want to be accused of ignoring something just because, you know, you got – let's talk about Spencer Jones in the bathroom fight this week. I mean, everybody's seen it. What's you guys' initial thoughts on it?
It's like, oh, go ahead, Chance.
Right off the bat, you know, watching the video, it looked like he was just trying to pick on some kid in the bathroom at a bar. And much to his demise, this dude can freaking scrap and put the hands to work on O'Jones, man. I kind of felt bad for the dude, but in a world that I live in, you know, you talk shit, you get hit. So he definitely got slapped around a little bit, but. At the same time, what I read in the news is his attorney is saying that he was trying to be a peacekeeper between all the, you know, hostility going on. So, you know, it's a he said, she said kind of thing. Right. He said, he said, reckon. But, man, you just don't know until you really know. But I just feel like he was actually, you know, kind of starting stuff with this dude. Because in the video, you can't even see little guys say a word.
Yeah. No, for sure.
And especially, too, it's just like I always grew up. My whole family huge wrestling background. You like those guys with the ears, you don't mess with them.
Man, yeah. I was about to say, you see a cauliflower ear, just leave him alone.
Yeah, yeah. Just because like
that guy could probably whoop my ass.
Yeah, yeah, it's just like, because wrestlers, like, I mean, I dabbled in a little bit growing up, but I'm like, you know what? Mentally, I just ain't there, because wrestlers mentally are a completely different breed. I remember when I was at OU, this one, I don't know how their wrestling program is now. When I was at OU, I think they were pretty good. You know, obviously, you know, I know they're not on Oklahoma State's level, just because, right. I mean, shoot, that's like the Patriots of college.
Yeah, that's top notch right there.
College wrestling. But, man, like, the guys, they would go to practice, and I mean, they would, they're sweating. They'd come in for dinner, grab a little bite to eat, and they're like, they'd be talking about, they would just get done with a 2-hour practice. They would come get some dinner, and they'd be talking about all this UFC stuff they're about to go do. So they would get done with practice, grab a bite to eat, and go do MMA for another like 2 hours. And it's like, what? Y'all are just weird. But it's just like, man, seeing that whole Spencer Jones thing, it's like, I just don't understand. It's like, I guarantee someone had too much to drink, pop their mouth off. And then it's just like, you know, it's just like, hey, don't pick on a guy that, you know, obviously has a wrestling background. He probably didn't know at the time because he's probably too incoherent.
Yeah.
But it's just like, I mean, you see that guy, and I mean, what, he was in a chokehold in less than 30 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just like, holy cow.
And that, I mean, that initial hit, like, the kid knew what he was doing, obviously. And, you know, the little background has came out on him, you know. He said he's not a collegiate wrestler or anything, but he said him and his brother was actually the other dude with him, whooping the other dude's ass as well. But, you know, they said that they've been wrestling since they were like 11 years old and been doing MMA since like 17. But like you guys just said, like, I see a guy with cauliflower ear. Like, I'm just not messing with you. If I'm throwing a party and you walk in the door and you got cauliflower ear, I'm probably going to walk up to you and be like, hey, man, here's a beer. And then if he's like, oh, I don't like Keystone Light. Well, shit, let me run down the store real quick. What do you drink? You know what I mean? I'm going to make you my friend. Like, I want you on my side. But, yeah.
Whether you like it or not, you're going to be my friend tonight, brother.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. And, we've all been there. You know, you have too much to drink and you know, some dumb shit happens. Like, I get it. But, like, especially with him, you know, you're an athlete at OU. You obviously know if something like that happens, it's going to pop off. You know what I mean? Well, I feel like it's getting a little bit too much attention. Like, people want to think that it's like Spencer Rattler that it happened to, you know what I mean? And not a walk-on holder, but
here's what I understand. Like, when you're – okay, you're at the University of Oklahoma, and when I was at OU, they preached it to us as a baseball player. It's like, you're at the University of Oklahoma. You know, obviously we're a little bit biased. Probably one of the better institutions athletically, and I assume academically they're up there too. But like, you're obviously one of the top athletic, you know, programs in the entire country.
Yeah,
and it's just like, hey, don't do anything stupid, especially in the age of social media. It's just like, I mean, if Barstool Sports got a hold of it, you know, and what do you know?
I thought the same thing. A guy I work with. We were talking about it, and, you know, I hop on Facebook and Barstool posted it. I was like, this kid's done. Wait, because in our generation, like our group of, you know, age group, Barstool is, you know, I wish this podcast could be a quarter of what Barstool is. You know what I mean?
Oh, and for sure.
Everybody knows Barstool, and they post. Mm-hmm. I've seen People Magazine. They're posting it in their next edition. You know what I mean? But I agree with you. It's just when you're, You gotta know your situation. You gotta know your circumstances. Like, I mean, in my honest opinion, he's not gonna have an OU on the side of his helmet next year. Like,
probably not. Nope. Because I mean, they're not gonna take a chance on that. It's just like, I mean, the same thing with, you know, Baker Mayfield getting tackled. You know, the only defense to tackle him was the Fayetteville Police Department. You know, but it's like, you know, it's just like that just puts a stain on everything. And it's just like when you're an institution like University of Oklahoma, it's just like they ain't gonna deal with that crap. Now, if you're Baker Mayfield, you're gonna have to apologize and go to some classes and all that stuff. But, you know, as a lower tier guy that obviously started something, you know, it's just I don't know. And it's just that's just the messed up part. But hey, that's the life we live in, you know.
It's funny we were talking about Spencer Rattler, because whenever I first got the update from Bleacher Report, it said OU footballer
gets in a fight. Did you see the Spencer?
And it said Spencer ran out of room and had the dot, dot, dot on it. And I was
clickbait. Absolute clickbait right there.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's done on purpose for sure.
Yeah,
I'm just glad. I'm glad the kid in the bathroom didn't like wrestle for like Alabama or something, because then you know we take another loss to Alabama.
Yeah, gosh, but man, that's like, well, unfortunately, like I think I heard like his eye was like had to
that
be like
lost his left eye. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, it's like, man. That's what I understand. It's like you have all those guys that they go to a party and they have too much to drink and they just want to fight someone. It's like, no, hey, just chill. Yeah. Golly.
I seen the kid, the wrestling kid that beat him up, he started a GoFundMe, and I clicked on it yesterday, you know, just to see. And that kid's raised like $40,000 from random people to help pay for his legal costs, you know what I mean? Like, that's just, it's crazy the way social media is these days. Like, he whoops the shit out of this kid, and he's got people giving him $40,000 to pay for his attorney.
Jeez, that's unbelievable. Man.
Yeah, it is. Man. And it's just – crazy world out there with the social media. But with that being said, we'll go ahead and wrap this episode up. Kale, man, we cannot thank you enough. We really appreciate you taking the time today and joining us. And to be honest with you, you killed it, man. I think you gave us some great content. I appreciate the stories that you shared with us.
Oh, I absolutely enjoyed it, man. I mean, it's just, I don't know, just getting to hear all the like new podcasts out and stuff like that. It's just like, man, love talking sports, you know. And I mean, if y'all ever need someone to come back, you know, I'll be more than happy to fill in for sure.
Absolutely. We definitely want to have you back on and with Caleb back, you know, because, you know, you guys played together. I'm sure you guys can get into some stories as well. And mm-hmm. I didn't know that your dad played for Switzer. The next time we might have to get Daddy Co Show on with you, because I'm sure he's got some Switzer stories.
Old Larry Co Show. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure he's got some Switzer stories.
Way too many.
Yeah.
Hey, Kosho, man, it was nice to meet you, brother. And
nice to meet you.
Best of luck to you up there, bro.
Thank you.
You guys join us next week. Again, this has been Balls Deep, Episode 2, with our special guest, right-handed pitcher for the Detroit Tigers, Kale Kosho. And we'll look forward to talking to you guys again next Saturday. I appreciate you. Thank you, guys.
Let's go Balls Deep.